Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is so good to be with you on this Tuesday. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You want to make sure you see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, good show for you. Let's get it. 1-800-636-8686. I've got a ton of thoughts coming off the college football playoff championship game last night. If you want to share your thoughts, you know where to find me. You have your telephone number. You can find me also on social media at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E at HaveAtake.com. All right, so the show sets up like this. I've got an interview coming up next segment. A safety with the Cleveland Browns, Sheldrick Redwine. That's coming up next. Coming up next hour, the head basketball coach at the University of Houston, Kelvin Sampson. Also next hour, a shooting guard for the University of Texas, Andrew Jones. He's got an amazing story. Third hour is wide open. 1-800-636-8686. Good action in the NFL, too, coming up this weekend. If you want to look back, we can do that. If you want to look ahead, we can go ahead and do that, too. Whatever you do, get on the phone, hit us up. You know your drill. You get through the call screener. Adam Hawk, he's going to ask you what you want to talk about. Have a good answer. And if you have a real good answer, I will jump you right to the front. Let's do it. All right, now, I've said this before. I'll say it again right now because it really is appropriate. Saying something sucks is not a take. It's lazy. Low-hanging fruit. You have to do better. When I say, have a take, don't suck, what I mean is saying something sucks is not a take. Now that I've said that yet again, let me say this. Last night's game, the national championship game, it sucked. It just did. Like, if you were looking for a competitive game in the college football playoff, you didn't get it. No, instead, you got jammed yet again. Bama, 52. Ohio State, 24. Everybody showed up expecting a track meet. Instead, a boat race broke out. Let's get one thing out of the way. Early on, I know Ohio State was missing a number of players. However, they could have had those guys on the field last night. They still weren't winning. They could have had everybody and perfect health and played their best game. Their best was not beating Alabama's best, because that's just how good Alabama was last night. That's how good Alabama has been the entire season. I mean, for years now, college football has been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then everybody else. This year, though, it was Alabama and then everybody else. No matter who you were or what your team did, if you thought you had any chance against this Alabama team, you're begging. Texas A&M, you got stomped 52-24. Georgia, have a 17-point loss. Auburn, take a seat, fire your coach. Florida, nice try. Like, remember when everybody watched Alabama beat Notre Dame by 17 and then rushed in and hammered Notre Dame, questioned whether or not Notre Dame belonged in the playoff? I mean, suddenly, losing by 17 looks like a major accomplishment when Ohio State got blasted by 28. This Alabama team was so dominant that Notre Dame held them to 31, and that was the lowest output all season long. And that game was never close. I mean, at this point, it's absurd. It's just stupid. And so was last night. Completely stupid and totally and utterly absurd. It's an Ohio State team. Totally trashed. Totally absurd. Totally stupid. Now, I mean, again, this is an Ohio State team that smashed Clemson a week and a half ago. And yet last night, they spent the entire game grasping at air and trying to make that game respectable. About the only thing normal in a completely surreal world these days is Bama winning another national title. And this one looked easier than most. I mean, there was nothing the Buckeyes could do to stop that Alabama offense. Mac Jones did whatever the hell he wanted. Najee Harris did what he wanted. Devontae Smith did what he wanted. There was that Harris touchdown that was a genius play design carried out by amazing players.
Here now, Alabama on a second down play. Mack looks wide open, left side. Najee out of the backfield, makes the grab at the 10, cuts inside the defense. He'll fire forward. He's got a touchdown. They lost him out of the backfield, 26 yards.
Then there was that Smith touchdown that ended the game. Ended the game in the first half.
Mac straight drop. Mac looks long. Mac finds Devontae behind the defense. He is in for a touchdown. Thank you, Mr. Heisman. Thank you, Mr. O'Brien, and Unitas Award winner. What a combination. 44 yards, touchdown, Alabama.
Learfield, IMG Radio. Hey, listen, I could go on, but really I can't. Because I can't play all the Alabama touchdowns in this segment. I would just run out of time. And again, this was against a good Ohio State team. Last night's not a reflection on Ohio State. Just like that semifinal was not a reflection on Notre Dame. Just like the SEC championship game was not a reflection on Florida or any of the games this season. They weren't about anything other than Alabama. It didn't matter who was on the field. They were, to quote Juju Smith-Schuster, nameless gray faces compared to Alabama. And of course, a game like that was going to inspire the ultimate bargument. Is this the best team in college football history? And normally that's like the dumbest argument in college football history. Because normally when people ask that question, the answer is no. Mac Jones. Now, Mac Jones has his own opinion. Mac Jones thinks that this is, in fact, the best team ever.
I think we're the best team to ever play. I mean, there's no team that will ever play SEC schedule like that again.
You know, fair enough. Sort of, kind of. Like, we can debate just how good the SEC was this year, but you cannot debate the fact that this team went undefeated in a pandemic and almost none of the games were close. So, is this the greatest college football team ever? I've got no idea. And neither do you, and neither does anybody else. I mean, could this Alabama team beat the Tommy Frazier Nebraska teams? Who knows? And I'm not going to get into some sort of breakdown of how Nick Saban would scheme it up against Newt Rockne. I'm not even going to try and talk about how the 2020 Alabama club would do against Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart on those great USC teams. I'm not going to waste time on that. However, I've got no problem saying this. This is something we can't say with certainty. This is not some made-for-TV, contrived bullcrap to get reaction. I'll say this. Nick Saban is the greatest coach in college football history. 7 national titles, 6 in his 14 years at Alabama. This was supposed to be the era of parity in college football. The proliferation of college football on television was supposed to level the playing field and mean that more programs had more shots at being elite. And yet the Nicktator has absolutely obliterated the idea and smashed it into 1,000 pieces. In fact, he doesn't just have 6 titles in 14 years at Bama. He's got 6 in the last 12 years. So it's a coin flip every year. Heads, Alabama wins a title. Tails, they come this close to winning a title. So that kind of dominance does not happen. At least it's not supposed to happen. Not in college football, not with teenagers playing, and not with guys going to the league every single year. And yet this guy, this joyless wonder, is doing it year in and year out and pretending like he's absolutely miserable while he's doing it. So while I'm not going to waste any time debating whether or not we just saw the greatest team in college football history, I can say this. Not only is he the greatest coach ever, I'm going to say that that's his best team ever. I'll say that. And if you're Nick Saban and that's your best team ever, then you've got a pretty good argument that maybe you are the greatest college football team ever. And that definitely is his best team ever. It is. I'm not even sure it's close. He's got 6 rings at Alabama, 1 at LSU, and it says here this Alabama team beats every one of the other 6 national champions he's coached. Even Nick himself would tell you that.
Well, you know, to me, this team accomplished more almost than any team. No disrespect to any other teams that we had or any championship teams, but this team won 11 SEC games. No other team has done that. Now, they won the SEC and went undefeated in the SEC. And then they beat 2 great teams in the playoffs with no break in between.
I mean, normally you ask him a question like that, and that's a reason to go. But instead, he couldn't wait to tell you that. I mean, sure, the defense is not the best defense he's had, but that offense is. It's not even close. And the crazy thing about this team is They did all of this during a pandemic. I mean, that's crazy. But even crazier than that is they weren't supposed to be this good. Remember last year, Joe Burrow and LSU destroyed college football. They set the gold standard for offensive football. And yet months later, Alabama was nearly a replica of them. Instead of having one Heisman candidate, the Tide had three inside the top five. They had three. And they did it with a quarterback who was not supposed to be the guy. And a wide receiver who was not supposed to be the guy either. Again, nobody was thinking that Mac Jones was going to lead the most electric offense in Alabama history when he showed up in Tuscaloosa. Everybody thought the Tide offense was going to stagnate too when Jalen Waddle was injured. But thanks to Devontae Smith, they actually got better. Smith was so good last night, he's going to get his own take today. But suffices to say, that is one of the freakiest, scariest dudes I have ever seen on the field. And if everything went to plan this year, he would have been the number two wide receiver in that offense. So Alabama winning a national title is the most predictable thing ever. Remember, it is a coin flip every year now for more than a decade. Except Alabama winning this national title the way they did in a pandemic was one of the most unpredictable things ever. The dynasty was supposed to be over, and yet it's still here and stronger than ever. And a big hat tip to the Nicktator. No one's better and no one's more miserable. The only thing that would have made that game interesting is if Nick Saban's daughter opened a new Twitter account and live tweeted some of her crazy talk during that game. That's the only thing that would have made that interesting. Got to tip your hat. It did it again and never looked better. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I've got thoughts on that. Devontae gets his own take. He was that good. He was that dominant. So he gets his own take. I will have that for you later on. I do want to talk about the weekend upcoming in the NFL. And I want to talk about the Steelers. Man, you think that if you got slapped, you think that if you got embarrassed in prime time, you'd stop bumping your gums. You'd stop running your mouth. Not the Steelers. Not the Steelers. They're not taking that loss well. And you know it pisses them off even more that it was the Browns that did them like that. Because they're still talking. Doug Peterson, fired. This guy won a Super Bowl for Philly. They had never won one before. He won a Super Bowl for the Eagles only 3 years ago and is already out on the streets. Man, that's not easy to do. Oh, one more thought about Tuscaloosa and Alabama. Guess who's heading to Tuscaloosa? Bob. That's right. Bob is going. Some quick reaction before I take a break. Romy, the college football playoff is getting very stale. Regards, that box of chewy Triscuits in everyone's pantry. Signed, Geoff in Lincoln. Yeah, I don't know, Geoff. I mean, I know that box you're talking about. I've had that box. I'm more of a wheat thin guy than a Triscuit guy, but I see it working. Dear Rome, I was so surprised with last night's outcome. Son, flip or flop?
Time to find another house to flip.
Casey in New Hampshire. Man, isn't that the truth? They buy these cockroach infested homes in these crappy neighborhoods, and yet somehow within 20 minutes they can always find a way to make 58 grand or 78 grand. Why don't they just call that show Flip or Flip? Flip or Get Rich. When have they ever flopped? Okay, now granted, I haven't watched the show in like 10 years, but back then, that's why I stopped watching it. Aside from the fact that they were really annoying. I know these people keep ending up on the cover of People magazine, too. Great, they flip houses. Congratulations.
We buy houses for cash, sight unseen.
I'm A. I hope that Nick enjoys this championship because it's going to be his last, as long as he insists on having that cooler Bill O'Brien as his OC. I will get there, and I'm not going to go with the cheap, convenient, predictable joke that all of you are going with. This is why I am the host and you are the listener, because you go with the cheap, convenient, predictable joke. Stucknut is in. Quote, Mac Jones saying that that's the best college team ever is like Mike in Indy saying that he's the best caller ever.
I do declare. Now I'm done. Rack me.
And quickly, dear Jim, I've been telling you this since 2008, but allow me to say it again. Ohio State sucks. Signed, Lendale White.
Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks.
That always cracks me up. Except that's not what that was last night. In fact, even Lendale would probably say that. Well, yeah, he'd probably say they still suck. That was not about Ohio State last night. That was all about Alabama. All right, when we come back, Sheldrick Redwine, safety for the Browns, joins us. So I got a quick question for you, though. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by the other brands, because all beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality you're buying right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the finest ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four amazing flavors. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide true, sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. So make it a part of your weekly grocery list and keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you do not see it, just ask for it by name. Old Trapper. Because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS, and the AFC is down to four teams. The defending champion Chiefs, still the team to beat, arguably. Who's going to take that next step on the road to Super Bowl 55? Find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out on CBS. It's going to be another huge NFL weekend. I'm efforting a safety for the Cleveland Browns, Sheldrick Redwine. Speaking of the Browns, I've got the Jim Rome podcast coming up on Wednesday. Like we do every single Wednesday, Browns legend Joe Thomas is going to join us on the pod. So we will talk all things Browns. Obviously, spending a lot of time talking about the Browns. All right, phone lines are open right now. The funny thing about the show, I lay it out every single day, but you're never sure exactly where it's going to go. There are windows, there are opportunities. I might be able to get you in here. 1-800-636-8686. If you get yourself in the rotation, be ready. I might come to you sooner than you think. Dear Romy, last night, I had all the weight on my shoulders, and now I am hungry for more. Regards, Big Mac Scones. Ashley in Nebraska. War Lady Clones, Ash. Well, you got that out of the way in the first half hour. Now you're done. Take the rest of the day off. Your streak is intact. I mentioned yesterday, I think, that she's found a way to get in almost every single day, somehow, some way. And I know where you might be thinking that. The guy was unbelievable. The guy put up great numbers. And again, that's part of what makes Alabama so amazing, right? That they weren't supposed to be so amazing. That guy was not supposed to be so amazing. Yet Ashley's coming in and talking about how fat he is.
Fat?
Like the quarterback's too fat, the wide receiver's too skinny. All they do is dominate. Speaking of fat, Wells fat. In the 360. Are we going to ignore the fact that Mac Jones looks like all he eats is Big Macs? That's pretty rich, Wells. You're going to be the guy to point the finger at him. It's an example of the pot calling the kettle fat. Hey, Wells, your handle is Wells in the 360, yet you've been glossed Wells in the 720. Yet you're going to be the guy to write, quote, are we going to ignore the fact that Mac Jones looks like all he eats is Big Macs? I don't know, man. From where I'm sitting, I saw guys slinging it all over the yard last night, getting it to his playmakers in space, and making the right decision at the right time. I mean, it's one thing for Ashley to say it. She can. But you, Wells, you're a different deal. And by a different deal, Wells, I mean fat. Allegedly. Come on, man. I don't want this takes one and no one stuff. Let me reset y'all. You know what we're trying to get done here? I'm trying to set up good telephone calls that elevate the conversation. All right, speaking of the conversation, we'll talk about the Browns. I do want to get into the Eagles situation. Doug Peterson, I mean, that thing got away from him. And when it goes fast. Except I didn't think it got that far away, nor that it would go that fast. But it did. It was only 3 years ago that they were celebrating a world championship. Only 3 years ago that you had Eagle fans in the streets of Philly loading up horse crap sandwiches and eating them in honor of their genius play caller and fearless leader. And now this guy's gone. As promised, we are joined right now by a safety for the Cleveland Browns. Coming off a game where he had three tackles, he had a pass defended, he had an interception in Sunday's win over Pittsburgh. He was the 119th pick overall in 2019 out of Miami. He is the founder of the Gloria Red Wine Foundation. And we've got another big one. You've got Cleveland at Kansas City Sunday. It is a CBS game. Sheldrick Redwine is my guest. Sheldrick, good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. That was great. So before we get into the win over Pittsburgh, can you take us back to the lead up to that game? You beat the Steelers in that closeout in the regular season, and then you're in the playoffs, but you know you got to go into that game without your head coach, without other members of the coaching staff. You had some key teammates who tested positive as well. So what was your reaction when you heard all that news, and what was the collective mindset going into the game?
You know, it was shocking, you know, to see a lot of that stuff happen. But, you know, the collective mindset was, you know, do anything that it takes to get the job done, you know. We know those guys are going to be with us in spirit, you know, Coach Stefanski, you know, having him out, you know, that was a big blow. But it was, Kate, don't let anything distract us from the ultimate goal of just going out there and getting the job done to get the win.
Sheldrick Redwine is joining us. So you have that mindset coming in. I would imagine it was pretty important to get off to a quick start. But then you come out and the defense scores on the very first play of the game. What was the vibe like among the players at that point after that play?
Oh, man, it was like we knew it was on. You know, after that, you know, that's as fast as a start you can ask to get out to, you know. So it really gave us the momentum, you know, and I feel like we kept that momentum, you know, for a long time, enabling us to be able to jump out to that early lead, you know. So having a play like that is great, you know, starting out like that and really getting the defense hyped up.
So you get out quickly, and the next thing you know, it's 14-0, then it's 21-0, and then on Pittsburgh's next drive, you come up with the interception. Can you take me through the play? What did you see on that play?
Oh, yeah, on that play, I think it was a former cover two, you know, and I've seen, you know, the receiver couldn't really threaten me outside, you know, so I seen him melting inside, so I melted with him. And then our defensive line got great pressure, forcing a high throw. You know, he threw it high. It tipped off the receiver's hands, you know, and it just fell into my lap, man. It was a great feeling.
We're talking to Cleveland Browns' Sheldrick Redwine. The Browns getting ready to play Kansas City. You know, so three plays later, the score, the offense makes it 28-0. You go on to win by double digits. Listen, I don't want to make this about me, but I've been riding with you guys for the last couple of years, but there were a lot of experts predicting that you guys would lose. Even Juju Smith-Schuster made his comments. In fact, how aware were you of what was being said, what he said, and then how much did that motivate the guys in the locker room?
You know, we were aware of what was said, you know, but like I said, we didn't let that distract us. You know, a lot of that stuff be for the media, you know, so we just like to keep it there, you know, and we like to really just go out and perform, you know, opposed to really getting into disputes and stuff over what's being said.
I mean, listen, like any athlete, you can only control what you can control, and you can only control yourself and your reaction to things. But I'm kind of curious. It's your second season in Cleveland. You know the history of the Browns. Even if you had nothing to do with it, and the guys you play with really had nothing to do with it, you know about that history. So how has this group gone about changing the culture and creating something new with the Browns?
Oh, man, we've taken taken it to heart, you know, that we've been able to come in and change the culture, you know, that of the organization. You know, it's a great feeling to be able to be a part of a huge change of something that you know has a long history of, you know. So I'm thankful for it, and the guys are really thankful for this opportunity, and we're just trying to make the most of it.
That's the thing is, maybe you weren't a part of what came or what happened before you got there, but the fans are. And the fans, man, they've been through some tough years, lean years, rough years. What's it mean to be able to give this to the fans of that town and that team?
I mean, you know, the fans love it, man. You know, they've been through it, you know, with this team. We got the fans who've been here for a long time, you know. So being able to see them smiling, you know, and coming off the plane, seeing those guys excited for us, getting the win, you know, that's exciting for us. So, you know, it's been great to be able to see how they've been reacting to our success.
Sheldrick Redwine joining us for a few more moments. It's obviously you've got work to do still yet. Everybody knows that. You're getting ready to face Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City offense. What is the key this week as you get ready for them?
I mean, you know, just don't try to do anything too special. You know, be who we've been. You know, just continue to just build and grow as a team. You know, get that collective, you know, that collective mindset and have everything in place to where everybody's doing their job. Everybody knows what needs to be done and to make sure everybody's in place.
Yeah, before I let you go, I want to ask you about something off the field. I think a lot of the fans listening watch you as a player, and they don't always know what goes on within the individual or the athlete or what goes on off the field. I mentioned that you've got a foundation, and you started the Gloria Redwine Foundation. It's named after your great-grandmother. What inspired you to start that foundation?
Just knowing her, her personality. You know, she's a loving, giving person. You know, I've seen her take in people, you know, who been less fortunate, you know, and really be able to raise multiple people, you know. She's called mom by so many people, you know, and just seeing her, how she affects the community and people respond to her, you know. I've created the foundation, you know, to give back to the community, give back to kids, you know, and to use her name kind of as an extension of that love, you know, to just bring about a change.
Good for you. Great job. Listen, one more thing. When the pandemic kicked in and everything shut down in the offseason, you were really careful to make sure that you spent your time wisely. I know you spent some time reading books on finance and motivation. You watched a lot of videos. You were looking, quote, to find myself on a deeper level. I'm always fascinated by that. I'm curious, what types of things were you reading? What kind of videos were you watching?
Man, all type of videos. You know, Eric Thomas, Steve Harvey, those motivational type guys, you know, who really helped me to grow, not only as a, you know, as a person, but, you know, on a spiritual level, you know, when they really question you to really dig into yourself to really find out what you really are, you know. So it's been a great growth process for me, you know, reading, gaining knowledge. You know, I've recently, you know, started learning about cryptocurrency, you know, a lot of stuff. You know, I just try to stick my hand in a lot of, you know, areas just to find out a little bit about a lot, you know.
Yeah, Eric Thomas is a guy. I watch him, too. I've never actually spoken to him. And I make a point, Sheldrick, of finding guys like that because I want to connect with guys like that. He's the, quote, hip-hop preacher. He's got amazing energy. He's got a great background. I'm glad you mentioned crypto. I did not know that, per se. Now, I bought a Bitcoin at $9,200. Dude, that has been a roller coaster ride, right?
I'm sure.
Do you have one? Do you have any? How are you approaching crypto game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm still learning about it, you know, so I put a little bit here and there. You know, nothing too crazy, you know, because I'm still learning about it. I really want to get the ins and outs about it before I really put, you know, and make a real investment towards it.
My guy, keep me posted. Keep me posted with what you learn and what you find out, because I'm with you. I'm trying to learn myself, but man, that has been some kind of crazy ride. Kind of like the Browns. The Browns going up against Kansas City on Sunday. Sheldrick Redwine, safety for the Browns, joining us. Sheldrick, great to have you on, man. Good luck this weekend.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Man, Bitcoin has been wild. In fact, before I go to break, I'm going to check it right now. Just out of curiosity, where are we at? Let's see. Password. And right now, down $1,600 today. Last price, $34,866 per coin.
34.
Oh, that's funny, Alvin. Was it not 40, like 40 minutes ago? All right, we will take a short time out. Coming up next hour, I've got a couple of interviews for you, including Kelvin Sampson. Also, Andrew Jones, who's a shooting guard for the University of Texas. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Hit us up. Get up in here.
Live.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so once again, C-Town, you should be up in here. Bills Mafia, you should be up in here. Bama. Alabama does it again. And what a party that was in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, man. You see all those folks in the streets jamming into bars. Man, that was something. 1-800-636-8686. And by something, I mean really something. Didn't see a whole lot of masks. It's interesting. We are still in a pandemic. All right, really quickly, some reaction. And my two cents worth, six of the last 12. Call it the Missionary Bowl instead of the National College Football Championship because we have seen it all before. The hell does that even mean? Look, I'm not here to decode your bull crap, all right? The point that I'm trying to make is the way the system is set up right now, it's supposed to be set up for parity. Yet it essentially, over the past decade plus, has been a coin flip for Nick Saban and Alabama. You know, heads they win, tails they come this close to winning. It's supposed to be tougher than ever before. And you knew this guy would be in, so let me just get this out of the way before I move on. Hey, Rome, it must have been incredibly inspiring to all of America to see Mac Jones bawling out for Bama, to see one of their own, an American, who looks like a double quarter pounder with cheese in a crimson uniform throwing for five touchdowns, to see an American just like them with the muffin top physique of a 50-something-year-old loser from the Midwest winning the national championship. Incredible. Congratulations, America. Congratulations. Son, Matt in Vancouver. You know, back in the day, I would always caution against America doing some unsolicited drive-by on Canada. But that's Matt in Vancouver throwing the first punch. Well, Ashley did, actually. But that's Matt in Vancouver going, oh, Canadian. Hey, Rome, what a fantastic game last night. No, it was not competitive, but I mean, what an easy freaking game to bet. You could have made me lay 20 points for Bama, and I'm taking that. Can you imagine going on a nationally syndicated radio show and saying, take Ohio State at 8 points? Matt and Poland Springs are coming for the big head. Hey, listen, Matt. It's easy to bet chalk. Anybody can bet chalk. You can always just go with the favorite. Yeah, that didn't work out so well for the head. I thought the head had a pretty persuasive argument, though. Did you see Ohio State? Did you see what they did to Clemson? I mean, by the way, I saw that point spread move to as much as 10. Didn't matter, though, right? As I mentioned, it didn't help that Ohio State went into that game minus 13 guys. But then again, it wouldn't have mattered. They could have had everybody. They could have had perfect health, and it would not have mattered. They were not beating Bama. Ohio State's best, and we saw what Ohio State did to Clemson. But Ohio State's best was not going to beat Alabama. Nobody's best was going to beat Alabama last night. June West LA wants in. Normally, that's not a good thing. Alabama wins again? Wow. College football is on the cutting edge of sports. Not stale at all. Regards, Sporting News Magazine. All right, Drew, not bad. Not bad. It is pretty predictable, right? As I mentioned, normally it's what's college football? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and everybody else. This year it was just Alabama and everybody else. The sport's taking quite a bit. Rome, the college football playoff and season is so fresh. It has a great future. It's so exciting. It's not corrupt at all. Regards, boxing. Eric in Colorado. And Jim, Sark's offensive play call was a work of art. Now let me stand back, observe the beauty, and charge $5,000 for it. Regards, artists. Denny in the 402. Guy actually did an amazing job. Granted, he's got a lot to work with. He called an amazing game last night. Rome Slice. Even I think the college football playoff is a tough sell to anybody watching or wanting to watch competitive football. Regards, artists splattering paint on a canvas and charging 10 large to hang it above your fireplace. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. All right, so that's today's thing. Artists. What is art? Artists standing back and charging a lot of money for you to view their art. How do these stupid threads start with you, JT Peters? Honestly. Like, where did the art thread come from? There's got to be three or four of you losers who sit around and brainstorm and spitball and throw crap up against the wall and say, yeah, what can we do? What can we start? What kind of thread can we start? We already did the Five Guys thread. We already did the IKEA thread. What can we do? What can we do? Hey, how about this? Artists. Let's talk crap about artists and what constitutes art and how much they get for it. Is that pretty much your process? Is that how that crap starts? How about this? All right, this is good.
Process?
Respect the process? Hey, we don't respect that process, JTP. I respect you, JTP, because you are part of the culture and the fabric of this show. I get that. I respect that. I just don't respect that process. The process that produces threads about artists and how much they charge and what is or is not art. All right, check this. This one's really off the board and out of nowhere. Good morning, Rome. I came across this interview of Hawk done by Ash Kumra yesterday and suggest you check it out. It may shatter your image of Hawk as he comes across as a professional EP who is actually interested in sports. Signed, Bernard. Hey, Adam, go ahead, throw him on. Put on the cans. First of all, it's not our guy, Bernard, is it?
I don't know, honestly. It's just signed Bernard. I haven't seen that name too many times, so it could be. I'm not sure. I don't want to credit Bernard without knowing
Bernard
for sure.
Bernard runs the facility where we do our NFL Today on CBS Hits here in Cali. Also, Bernard was the name of a former producer I had at Fox Sports Net. All right, so what is this? Who is Ash Kumra? When did you do this interview? Why in the world is he interviewing you? Give me some background here.
Okay, well, I forgot about this interview. It took place just about a year ago, Jan 15, 2020. I'm now seeing the link included in the email. Ash works for some company that does podcasting and videos where you'll think this is great, where they interview elite minds in the industry. And I
do think that's great.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I don't mind saying this.
So am I. So how, if he interview, I don't even need to ask the question. Go ahead.
I really think
if he's interviewing, I will ask the question. If he works for a company and does a podcast where he talks to people with, quote, elite minds, how did he find you?
Well, he found me on LinkedIn. What a great service that is.
It's a stupid question by me. I know how he found you. Why did he find you?
If I'm guessing, and I don't want to put words in Ash's mouth, I would never want to accuse anyone of anything, but I think you shoot for the stars and you get happy if you hit the ceiling.
So he tried to get Alvin, and Alvin said no, and he ended up with you.
I think he wanted to get you, and he ended up with me.
Okay.
And he settled for it because it's content, mm-hmm. and at the very least, he could kind of talk about the process we have here at the Jim Rome Show with someone who works on the Jim
Rome
Show.
I'm being kind of funny about this with you, but this guy, Bernard, actually says, I mean, this is a compliment. Bernard says it may shatter your image of Hawk as he comes across as professional and as somebody interested in sports.
Well, the first part is correct. I do fancy myself a professional executive producer. I have worked in the business for 11 years. It did take a lot of work to get to this point. I do consider myself a student of radio, and it's what I always wanted to do as a kid. So I've put a lot of time and work into it. I don't know why he would say I was interested in sports. I don't remember.
That's not true.
Yeah. And I don't remember talking about sports on this podcast with Ash, but he did want to talk about how to build out a radio show on a day-to-day basis. And we did talk about that. That's something I've been doing for a while. So it's kind of like a second language. And I don't know why that's so surprising. I mean, I'm kind of stupid when it comes to a lot of things, but I'm good at one thing, and that's the thing that I have to do 5 days a week.
You're good at being defensive right now. All right, so actually, Ash, Ash sounds like a pretty clever guy. He sounds sharp. He sounds professional. If the clones want to be shocked and they want to see you in a different light and they want to see you come off professionally as somebody who actually likes sports, go ahead, man. Direct them to it. Where is this interview? I haven't seen it yet, and I want to watch it.
Okay, well, the link provided to me in this email...
Is it dead?
Well, no, it populates on a Facebook page.
Okay.
Now, I don't have Facebook, but I guess if you search for Ash on Facebook, you might be able to find it. Ash is A-S-H, and his last name is Kumra, K-U-M-R-A. And I guess we have an interview from January 15th, 2020. I mean, I remember doing it, but I would not have remembered it had it not have been brought back up today.
I remember you discussing it with me and saying that, or asking, are you cool if I do this? I said, absolutely, go ahead, knock yourself out. And then I just kind of forgot about it.
Me too. I'd never thought that it would come back. Thanks, Bernard. I appreciate that. And yeah, I'll have to rewatch it, and hopefully I didn't embarrass myself too much now that we've directed your entire massive audience of trillions to go watch it.
All right, we'll find out. Thank you very much. Bernard found that. Hey, Bernard, what were you doing? Just kind of searching out Adam Hawk? How do you find an interview that he did a year ago? Anyway, find it. In fact, I got to find it. I remember the interview again, but I have not seen it yet. See if we can get those views up on that thing. Let's see here. How many people have viewed the interview? 63. 63, Adam. 63 people. Okay, that's actually not even fair. Like, I don't know how many people. I just know how many views. Like, Adam, if you watch that thing 40 times, I don't know, maybe Bernard ran those numbers up. All right, so anyway, the exclusive sit down between my guy Ash and Adam Hawk. Okay, that's just Facebook. How many views on the YouTube link? All right, there's 8 more. So now we're up to 72. Clones, get that thing to 100. I'll even allow you to combine Facebook and YouTube. You can do it. Let's get that thing to triple digits. Get it up to 100. All right, busy second hour coming up. I've got Kelvin Sampson at 10:20. That's Pacific time. I've got Andrew Jones of the University of Texas right after that. I've got an open segment coming up next during the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.